Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Welcome to the Entree Architect Studio. Hi, my name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where every Friday I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Entree Architect Studio is a series of special bonus episodes where I invite inspiring, passionate people to share their knowledge and information about the building products and the services to help you build better buildings. I'm glad you're here. Let's go see who's joining us today at the Entree Architect Studio. And one more quick note before we get started. This episode was recorded live at AIA Conference in Chicago at the RCAT booth under the Big Red A. So please enjoy the background noise as an added feature to this episode. Let's get to it. So who are you and what do you do?
Mark, I'm Ed Rosa, and I work for Behr Paint Company. I'm a product manager handling the pro business. I've been with Behr for the last 5.5 years. Prior to going to Behr, working for Behr, I worked for various paint brands, regional and national, Sherwin-Williams, Dunn Edwards, Frazee, Comex.
So paints everything.
Paints everything for me, yes.
Like, Before we started recording, you said that your family was in.
Yeah, both my parents are a chemist. They were with Dunn Edwards for 20 years. My mom is actually one of the lead chemists at Dunn Edwards. One of her claim to fame when she was there was her coating was used on the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
So she created the formula?
She created and formulated the whole thing.
Wow. So paint is, that's all you know.
Yeah.
That's your whole life.
I've been born into paint.
Yeah. Yeah. No choice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of those things that I've enjoyed it. You know, it's very fascinating. It's a very highly evolving industry. There's been a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. I'm an architect. I've been in the profession for 25 years. I've seen change in paint since I started. And so tell me a little bit about that. In the last two decades, let's say, massive changes in the paint industry, right? So
yes,
just talk about that a little bit.
Well, one of the probably most obvious one is that, you know, there's more stringent regulations. VOC limits reduction on architectural coatings, especially in regions like California. There's a segment in California called the South Coast AQMD. Mm-hmm. They have the most stringent VOC regulations in the country, more so than any of the other districts in the U.S.
Yeah, and when the VOCs became something that we started being aware of, mm-hmm. right, and paint companies were forced to respond to it, right,
yes.
because it was environmental issues. Early on, VOC paint was sort of iffy,
yeah,
right? The formulas
definitely.
Weren't so great. They weren't as durable. That's changed, right? Things have changed since then, right?
It's been a radical change. In the first, you know, at the onset of low VOC paints, there was a trade-off in performance. But over the years, I think there's been a collaboration between raw material suppliers, and they found, you know, a way to develop resins, pigments, additives that work well in low VOC formulation. So it's come a long way. There's still some room for improvement. A lot of the newer lower VOC paints and even zero VOC paints are actually just as durable more durable than high VOC paints.
Yeah, I mean the formulas now are so advanced. It's not just some pigment in a bucket of latex anymore.
Exactly.
It's a specific formulation now.
Yeah.
So tell me about your position. You're working with pros, working
yes.
with architects, right?
Yeah. I support the pro team for Behr. So whether these are reps who call on contractors, painting contractors, GCs. We have reps who call architects, designers.
Yeah.
So I support that team. Make
so
sure
the whole industry.
Pretty much.
The pro side of things.
Yeah.
So in terms of pro versus consumer.
Yes, exactly.
Right,
so I'm less focused on the DIYer.
Right.
Although some of the products that I manage have a touch of the DIY consumer customers.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I would say, if I were to put a percentage. It would be like 95% pro, 5% DIY.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any specific programs that you're working with that helps that process of communicating and specifying paints for pros?
Yeah, so as you may already know, Behr really has been a newcomer in the pro space. Behr's been known as a strong DIY brand.
Right.
Because of its association with Home Depot.
Yeah.
But it's only been in the last 11, 12 years that we've kind of put our imprint in the pro space. There's been a lot of programs. Obviously, products. You have to have products that cater to pros, much different than products that are specific to DIYers. So products that are more designed to have great application properties, to make them, make them go in and out of those jobs, return to service faster.
Yeah.
So,
is there anything specific that makes Behr unique that is offered to the pros?
Unique.
Terms of service or product?
Yeah. I mean, product probably, I would say Behr is highly invested in product innovation. So, our parent company, Masco, grants us some funds to innovate in the space, whether it's paints and coatings or other adjacencies. Like last year, we ventured into the caulks and sealants space. We launched our caulks and sealants.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing quite well at Home Depot. We're actually in almost 1,200 stores now, looking to have a national footprint by the end of the year.
Very interesting. So is there any type of... talk a little bit about that transition, because I think when architects hear Behr, right, they associate it with that DIY
mm-hmm.
Paint. So what has happened since then to help provide those services to architects?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that...
And other pros.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that probably stand out is... We're in MPI. We have a lot of MPI approved products. If you look at our list of approved products, you can see that we've grown that list considerably over the last few years. We're continuing to add more products. Even some of the DIY products are now being qualified under MPI,
yeah.
which we know MPI has a very strong presence in the architectural community.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been in the industry a long time, as you have mentioned.
Yep. 30 plus years.
Specifically 30 plus years. So talk about how the industry has changed in that amount of time.
Well, one of the obvious ones is that, you know, you have fewer players. You know, back in the 80s, 90s, you have a lot of regional brands.
Yeah.
In California, there's like, you know, tons of them that have been absorbed by, you know, the national brands, primarily Sherwin-Williams and PPG. So now there's very few players that kind of compete for share of wallet with the pros. Obviously, Sherwin-Williams is a pretty strong contender, PPG, Benjamin Moore. And Bear is, you know, obviously now in the thick of the race.
Yeah.
We've kind of evolved from a DIY brand into more of a hybrid brand, like a DIY and pro.
Yeah. For architects, we're here at the AIA convention. Mm-hmm. For architects, do you have local reps that are repping? How do architects get in touch and connect with their reps so they can get their samples and help with specifications and those kind of things?
Yeah, so we do have regional architectural reps. They have responsibility for specific areas. If someone needs information about architectural rep, actually design rep as well, they can go to our website. There's like contact information there. They can find out what rep calls in their area. So it's pretty easy to get that information.
Yeah. And do you work extensively with RCAT?
Not directly, but, you know, we have a person in our office that handles the specifications. So he works with, you know, RCAT, SpecLink, you know, other specification platforms.
Yeah.
So
what about the trade, Ed? You've been in the profession for 30 years. You've probably seen the way, you know, we talked a little bit about the changes from the design side and the specification side. What about the application side, the installation side, the with contractors and painting contractors? How have you seen changes there?
Yeah, there's been a huge change in the painting trade specifically. You know, I spent a lot of time in the field because, you know, I enjoy working with pros. I think the best way to learn pros is to engage with them. So one of the things I commonly observe is that the workmanship is sort of lacking. They're not as craft, you know, they don't have the same skill set as, you know, painters from years past.
Yeah.
They don't get the proper training and guidance.
Do you think that a lot of that is because of the boom in the industry of so many buildings being built, and there's like anybody can pick up a paintbrush and they're a painter? You know, that competition, prices drop because of that?
I think that's a contributing factor. But I think one thing that really is driving that is, you know, when you look at the entire construction business, the painting trade is really the least desirable. They're not as compensated as much as other trades.
Yeah.
So, you know, we saw a shift of painters going to other trades because, you know, they're more financially rewarding for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a misunderstanding of paint, right? Mm-hmm. Of not only the paint, the product, but paint, the service, you know, that as a residential architect, it's the first thing that clients want to take out of the contract. They think they can do it themselves, right? They can go down to Home Depot and buy a can of Behr paint on the DIY side and a paintbrush, and they can go put color on the wall. But it's a very different paint
definitely.
Job than a professional.
Yeah, one thing I would always say is, like, you know, you can make a great paint look bad.
Yeah.
And you can make a bad paint look good just because of, you know,
the skill. Yeah.
So
you were saying before we started recording that you also do apprenticeship?
Yeah, so I'm currently an instructor for the Southern California PDCA program. We actually partner with one of the community colleges there, Cerritos College. We get to use their venue for our classes. It's a combination of lecture and hands-on. At the end of every module, we put them in like a painting activity. We do a painting project. We kind of have them apply what they learn in class, And yeah, this is a 3-year program that advances apprentices to a journeyman status. So they could either continue working with their painting contractor firms, or they can branch out into their own painting business.
Yeah, so it gives them the opportunity and the skill to be able to go out and start their own business, or become much more desirable and valuable to their employees or employers.
Yep.
So they make more money, and the contractors actually have more skill.
Oh yeah, actually the contractors fund, you know, they send their workers to our program because it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the contractors don't have time to train their employees, so you know, by using our program, we're able to make their workers more skilled.
Yeah.
And that, you know, translates to better results in their jobs.
Yeah. What about the future for Bayer Paint? What's coming down the line?
There's a lot of things.
Give us an inside scoop.
Well, you know what? Something that we just recently launched is an antiviral and antibacterial paint.
Oh, interesting.
It's called Copper Force. It was 7 years in the making, but the real work happened in the last 2 years. It got accelerated by, you know, the pandemic. It's a proven technology. We partner with Corning, which is a glass manufacturing company. So we use their technology that takes the most bioactive form of copper to provide the virus and bacterial killing properties. So
it's actually killing the virus and
on the painted surface. Yes.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah.
There's a window of time that, you know, that it kills 99.9% of the virus and bacteria that comes in contact.
So it's a product that was started before the pandemic.
Oh yeah.
It was like accelerated when there was a need for it.
Exactly.
Or a massive need mm-hmm. for it. There's always a need for it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's a global need for it. I think there's probably a huge demand for that. So you've rolled that out now.
We've rolled it out in 4 states. One of the unique things about this product is it's not like your other, you know, ordinary paint product. We had to go through a rigorous EPA registration process. And after we secured our EPA registration, we had to work with individual states to get our product approved. And every state is different.
Is that because of the claim or because of the
claim,
product?
Because of the claim. Because there's a health-based claim that you can kill, you know, 99.9% of virus and bacteria that causes disease.
Yeah.
So that's why it's more it's mandated and there's oversight by government agencies.
Yeah. Well, this has been very interesting. I learned a whole bunch about paint. I didn't know anything about antiviral paint or an antibacterial paint. And so interesting that it's coming down the line.
Yeah, I think that's one of the technologies that's going to be you know, in the forefront of coatings technology.
Yeah, I can imagine that becoming a standard.
Yeah.
In the future. Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate
you
coming by. All right.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
If you liked this episode of the Entree Architect podcast, please share a rating on your podcast player right now. Go ahead, click 5 stars. Then write a review and share a link to this special episode with a friend. This episode of the Entree Architect Studio, it was brought to you by ARCAD, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specifications, and so much more, all for free at ARCAD.com. Go check them out, ARCAT.com. Entree Architect is a member of Gable Media, the largest, most engaged podcast network in the world that's dedicated exclusively to the AEC industry. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GABLMedia.com. If you offer building products or serve the AEC industry and you want to join me here at the Entree Architect Studio, let's connect. Send me an email at podcast@entrearchitect.com. That's podcast@entrearchitect.com. Thanks for listening to this special episode here at the Entree Architect Studio. I'll be back with our next regular episode of the Entree Architect podcast this Friday. Until then, love, learn, and share what you know.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.